As we were saying, all of the sevenfold aspect of the divine being is giving unto its idea all that it is, and it is truly preserving for that idea all that it is. Therefore, it is giving unto every aspect of that idea what it is. Therefore, it is giving unto that which you are and that which I am all that it is. And there isn't a question that it could rob me of my divinity or my divine quality. It wouldn't even conceive of it. It isn't within its nature. Its nature is that of giving. Its nature is that, in this instance, of fatherhooding. Therefore, it is eternally giving unto me, as a facet of its idea, that which I am. And that which I am is what it is. I cannot be given something that the divine being doesn't have within its own being. It cannot give me the counterfeit of its being. It can only give me that which it truly is. And it can only preserve in me that which it truly is. Now, the implications on that are enormous. It can never feed me unintelligence. It can never feed me materiality. It can never feed me corporeality or personality. It can never feed me entropy or death. It can never give me error of any kind, distortions of any kind, lack of consciousness or unconsciousness. It can never give me the opposite of love. It can never give me imperfection. It can never give me a feeling of isolation or loneliness. It can never give me a feeling of lack of purpose or that my life has not been worth something. It doesn't give me any of that. Isn't that wonderful? And it obviously doesn't preserve those counterfeit qualities within me either. Now, if it doesn't give it to me, then nothing does. Nothing. Because it's all that there is. And if it doesn't have it within its being, then it can't give it. And if it doesn't give it unto its idea, it's never been given. So, if we think it has, we're wrong. And it is that we need to correct. And it is that we're going to correct as we move down, so to speak, the vertical to the level of Christian Science as it intersects with the vertical of Christianity. And we see how we, as idea, relate to this fatherhooding, motherhooding aspect of being. So I will ask you to go on to your next set of papers. And before you will be the law of universal reflection. And now we will see that wonderful idea that has been given all of the qualities of the infinite being in its fullness, in its reflection. Every idea, every single aspect of the divine idea that we have just been focusing on. Every individualized idea belongs to that being that created it. Every aspect of that divine structure belongs to the entire structure. That would be another way of putting it. Truly, every idea is fixed in its principle. It cannot get lost. It is never isolated from its principle. And every idea is one with its principle. But it's so much easier to see it if you say that every facet of the one divine idea is one with the being that brought it into being. Okay? Nothing is outside of that divine being. Nothing is outside of that principle. All of the ideas that have been brought forth in their unique individuality in the Christ order that we have not focused on today are held within. The divine principle. Each idea is a principled idea. It is an idea that belongs to the divine subjective being that brought it forth from above in the level that we were just focusing on a few moments ago. And all is idea and dwells in a realm of ideas, and truly there is no other realm, because there is no other mind that has ever conceived anything outside of the mind of the divine subjective being that has conceived all. So therefore, all that has ever been conceived really is idea and remains in the realm of idea. And all of those ideas, every aspect of the one idea is identified with its principle. Each and every idea, each and every aspect is of the same nature as the divine being that created it. Well, we've just gone over that. And what is that nature? It's the nature of the seven, if we want to use a little code term, the nature of mind through love. So in this law, we are really just kind of echoing and elucidating the subjectivity of the law here that says that which has been brought forth and created, that which has been objectified, is never separated from its principle, is never separated from the divine subjective being that created it, that which has been brought forth is of the nature of idea, it has no other nature, and that the qualities of that nature are the seven. But then it goes a step further, and it says that every idea is connected to every other idea, every aspect connected to every other aspect of the divine objectified idea by virtue of its ability to reflect its own individual quality and to receive the quality of all the other ideas. So you get a magnificent universal blending of ideas where every quality, where every idea is forever shining forth its own individual nature and giving it unto the universe of idea, and every other quality or idea is doing the same. So that you have a grand brotherhood going on, you have a wonderful universal reflection of ideas, or of the one infinite idea, depending on how you'd like to view it. The only difference is, are you viewing it in its detail, or are you viewing it as a whole? It's important in this law to see that every individualized idea is not only held within the whole, but relates to every other individualized idea, creating one grand reflection of divine ideas. And if we were to explore the very essence of that reflection, if we were to explore how does that reflection actually operate, then we would see that it operates by fatherhooding its idea, by sonshipping its idea, and by motherhooding its idea. Those are just code terms, but they really mean the nature of that reflection is that it projects its image forth, that it acknowledges that image within the reality of that reflection, and that it again holds and embraces the totality of that reflection. And we will explore that in greater depth in a few minutes. We have just gone through the first column on the paper that I asked you to look at, entitled The Law of Universal Reflection. The column, which is entitled The Nature of Ideas, we have explored what is really going on within the operation at this particular point in law. The code terms for that order are principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. But those terms, as they explain themselves, as they elucidate themselves, function in this particular instance in the manner that we have just gone over through the column of the nature of ideas. Now, we're going to move to the next column called True Humanhood. This is really what happens when the nature of ideas is imbibed and felt and reflected within humanity, within that which we are. And the next column over that we will explore, called Mortal Manhood, is what happens when the beautiful flow of this law is deflected, when it is not imbibed within our individual or universal consciousness. I have a choice now, making a choice here as to whether to go down one column and then down the other column, or do do the yay and nay of the same thing. We'll see what comes out. We have stated from the standpoint of the principle of this particular law of universal reflections that all ideas belong to their infinite principle, to the infinite being that has brought them forth. If I respond to this, if I allow that state of being to occur within my consciousness, I will function in a principled way. I will have a principled attitude. I will function impersonally, and I will be very disciplined because I will bring every idea that occurs to me back to its governing principle and fix it in that principle in a very impersonal way. If I fail to do this, and I advertently or inadvertently start from the position of myself as a separated person, if I start from a position of fragmentation and isolation, then I will be continually coming forth from what we call the personal I. That little I of my own person, considered from a position in being that would be separate from the whole, that would be fragmented from the whole. Now, any time I come forth from that fragmented place, any time I conceive of myself as a person in any way separated from the whole and in any way separated from the divine creator, from that which has brought me into being, I am coming forth from the personal I, and I therefore will be and function very personally and in a false way. I will have beliefs and opinions about things, about everything, but they won't be correct. So if I am wise, I will not be duped or fooled. I will be in the place that the divine has really put me, in its embrace. I will stay there. If it has given me my uniqueness, if it has given me that which I am, and it holds me within itself, who am I to take myself out, even for a minute? Now, there really isn't an out. It's just something I think I do, but why do it? Why fragment myself from the whole? I don't need to do that. But I will do it always unless I am consciously conscious of the fact that as an idea I am always embedded in my principle, that I am always fixed and attached to the divine principle that has brought me forth. Okay. Now, the law goes on and it says, the mind function is also occurring, which states, as we said before, that all is idea, nothing else. That the only thing that has been created is this incredible, wonderful, objective idea, nothing else. Well, if I know that, if I'm aware of that, if I flow that, if I function according to that, that there is only idea, nothing else. Obviously, I will be thinking in terms of idea, thinking in terms of ideas. I will not be thinking in terms of thoughts, of beliefs, of illusions. I will be what Max calls big-minded, because I will always see everything as idea, not as people, places, things, but as idea. I will be focused always on everything as idea. I will be ideationally oriented, right? Consider everything from the standpoint of idea. If I do this, I cannot fall into the trap of being opinionated, right? And dealing in mortal thoughts and illusions. I cannot be narrow-minded. I cannot deal in isolated, chaotic thinking. Isn't that terrific? The roadmap is so easy. If I find that my mind is a jumble and I'm dealing in opinions and I'm dealing in isolated thoughts and I get a thought here and a thought there and blah, 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 blah. And you know how your mind is blah, 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 blah. It's awful. Put it away. Put it in the trash can. It isn't yours anyway. Go back to this law. And to the law that feeds into it, recognize, no, the divine infinite being has provided me with all that it is. And in its mindedness, it has given me my identity as idea. And everything as idea. Everything that has ever been conceived and produced is idea. If it only produces idea, what right do I have to think in terms of something less? All this other only represents something less. The fact that I'm not aware of the ideational, the full mind of my own being. So it's very freeing to only think in terms of the idea. And even if you break that down to think in terms of ideas, and everything that greets you in the universe is idea. Everything. Everything is quality. Everything is idea. Nothing is anything less. Ever. You'll have such a good life. No, it's wonderful. It is. I promise. It makes all the difference. And if, as we learned a few moments ago, that everything is of the nature of that principle, that everything, soul we're at now, that everything is of the nature of the divine subjective being that created it, therefore it's of the nature of the seven, then I must see that ideational realm that I'm looking at as exemplifying that nature. I must do that. If I do it, I'll be unbound. I'll be free. I won't see selves. I'll be free of self. I'll be unselfed. You know, that's fantastic. It's wonderful to be unselfed. To see no self apart from the divine self, to only see one self of the nature of the seven, infinitely individualized, but still one divine self. No other self anywhere, and you know we get tempted morning, noon, and night to see something else. No! It's of the nature of the seven. No other nature, because that divine subjective being, that quote-unquote God, never created anything unlike itself. Period. End. Finished. That, therefore, if I don't do this, what happens? I will be coming forth from a standpoint of self. I will find myself ruled by emotion, ruled by moods, ruled by my own ego. And it will be the gauge for everything I look at. I will look at my whole universe from the standpoint of my own nature. Shall I say what I think of as my nature? If I don't see my nature in the seven, and I don't see every other nature in the seven, then whatever limitations I have, they may not be total, but whatever limitations I have, that's where I'm going to come from. And that's going to be my gauge for everything that I look at. I'm going to read my universe from that standpoint. Yeah, I'm going to cheat myself then out of the rest. Okay? Now, we said that the law operates as spirit, that it operates in such a manner that each facet of this grand idea is reflecting every other facet of the idea, or we could say that every idea is reflecting every other idea in a grand spiritual transparency of idea. If I'm in the midst of that, if I'm holding that wonderful reflection in consciousness, I am really single-minded and spiritually minded. I am going with the flow, right? I am moving with the flow of spirit. As every facet is reflecting with every other facet, so I am doing that. Everything in my being, every quality in my being is reflecting every other quality in my being and every quality in the divine whole. It's wonderful. You know, just everything flowing, flowing, flowing continually. No sludge. Nothing to stop it. Just a continual, wonderful, flowing transparency that's going on within. And it's just wonderful. You just go with the flow. You've given up all materialistic ambition, you've given up materialistic nature within you. You don't fasten on material objects in any way, manner, shape, or form. Therefore, you don't have to be self-absorbed. You don't have to be opaque. Oh, it's fantastic. If I'm not opaque, if I'm transparent, then every quality of the divine is being reflected within me. And I'm reflecting it forth for everything in the universe. I can't tell you, it's just so freeing. I mean, there just isn't anything better than that.